This is The Conversation. I am Michael Shaw. Welcome. It is the Night Gallery episode, and I have a lot of things to tell you before we get there, so stay tuned, hang on to your hats, as is appropriate. Conversations with Michael Shaw. That's a little shout out to Davita. She gave me that idea. Should I run with it? What do you think? So, I did sit down with... Let me give you a little advice, first of all. If you have not been to the new Night Gallery space downtown Los Angeles, if you have hit Dames and Games, the sports club slash topless bar, you have gone a little too far. So turn around, go back about a half block, make a left, look for the colored windows. I just saved you a good half hour or so, if not more, of driving time. You're welcome. So I did sit down with Davita Nemiroff and Mika Marple, co-owners of Night Gallery, in the new space, specifically in the semi-private lounge area that is a recreation of the original dark pine-paneled walls, red and blue-colored lamps, softly illuminating. And we had a very crazy, fun, bizarre, beautiful exchange. It was a bit anarchistic in the best possible way. The artist Justin Beale described this podcast, having listened to several episodes, of being like listening to a couple of friends chatting over dinner. And if you take that analogy to this podcast, it's more like a party than a dinner. So first time I spoke to two people at once, made for a little extra excitement. And now I recommend, before or while you listen, that you go check out images describing the arc of the gallery, Night Gallery. First, go to notesonlooking.com. You can see the full arc there. If it's not on the homepage, go to the podcast section. Also, be sure to go to my site, which is theconversationpodcast.madewithcolor.com. Go to the gallery section. You will find a bonus photo there of myself, Davita, and Mika in the new space, hauntingly backlit as we are. While you are at my site, you should do yourself a favor, and if you haven't already, listen to some of the past episodes. I spoke with collector Dean Valentine most recently. Shortly before that, Made in LA upcoming curator Michael Ned Holte. Go back a ways. There are some great conversations with Robin O'Neill, you may not be familiar with, but you should, at least through this conversation. Kevin Appel, Amy Sarkeesian way, way back, and Charles Irvin, very good conversation as well. Go check out those. Go look through the list in the podcast index on the website and find one that intrigues you, or maybe find one with somebody you don't know. Check it out. Oh, a couple more things. One is I am taking requests for future guests. So I want to gather a consensus on one or a few people who you would like to hear come on the show. So I open that up to you. Share that via Twitter or Facebook, or email me directly, theconversationartpodcast@gmail.com. That address is on the website. And if I get enough names for one or a couple people, I will go pursue them. Okay? How does that sound? Finally, the final boring, preachy part. Please, if you have not contributed, I invite contributions, financial contributions, modest ones, to this show. I am trying to raise some cash to advance the show with better equipment, take it to the next level, the next era, and I could use you and your help doing so. So if you've not donated yet, please consider doing so. Do not look to your neighbor to do so. Do so yourself. Modest is appreciated. If enough people do it, that'll give us enough to move forward. So I thank you for that, and the boring, preachy part is now over, and now we can go listen to the exciting exchange with Davita and Mika of Night Gallery. Right now, I will talk to you later. Thanks for listening.
But there's something fundamentally folk about the LA Art Book Fair, which is that there's something fundamentally folk about LA.
That is...
And I think that the gallery, this gallery in particular, is in tune with that folk, and that is an important, you know, like even like when we're at ALAC, we are like the LA Art Book Fair, you know. It's like I guess that has an ephemeralness to it as well as like a accessibility. Like it's tagged with this accessibility as opposed to tagged with exclusivity.
Well, why don't we talk?
But it's so ingeniously done that it is like
an actual... The book fair?
Yeah. Because it's done by a genius.
Who?
A. Bronson. I ran into him. Did I tell you that? And I introduced myself. And he was sort of horrified. But I worked at 13 1P where he did... A. Bronson was part of General Idea, which was this amazing art group, Canadians, who were like AIDS activists in the 80s. And their work was just beautiful. It's funny, I even remember like when I was 10, like going to this contemporary art museum in Toronto, and there's like this huge AZT pill, and I had no idea what it was, but I just thought, I'm like, that is... contemporary art. It was like so amazing, so blown away.
Well, you guys just did the Los Angeles Fair, the Art Los Angeles Contemporary. And how did it go?
It went well. Yeah. We love ALAC.
What does that mean, that it went well?
I thought you were going to say, what does that mean to love ALAC? It went well. We had an awesome booth.
Yeah.
We had beautiful work.
And it was it's so cool. Like, one of our artists got this show in New York from it. Like, they're like sales, of course, but like, the nice thing about ALAC, and what I realized, I think, when one of the New York dealers sort of became interested in doing this show with one of our artists, is that it's also like this place for dealers. It's like, I don't know, there's a lot of camaraderie. There's a lot more besides sales that happen at a fair, especially at a more local fair, I think.
Yeah. It's probably much more collegial there than the other fairs.
Yeah, but even those other fairs are actually like pretty amazing. Like at Miami, we had these cameras by Samara Golden, and last minute Rachel Effner is a gallery in New York. She didn't have a show planned for, like, February, and just loved them so much and just asked if she could take them home. Anyway, there are, like, these moments that people think it's all about sales, 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 but it's actually, like, there is something else that happens there that is much sweeter.
Did either of you have the experience of being at a fair as a non-dealer, you know, and recognize now, in retrospect, that how much different that is than actually being part of it?
I didn't know.
So you've never been to a fair other than as a dealer?
I've been to a fair working for an artist, actually. I interned at David's Warner, and I met this artist, Michelle Riedel. And he did this project at a fair where I had to, like, describe everything that was happening at the fair, and the whole thing got recorded. So I was just there giving, like, live feed of everything that was happening.
What were you talking
at
into?
At the booth. Just, like, an iPhone or a computer or whatever like that. And then it got turned into a book. But I sort of feel like I do that still.
It's so interesting.
Sounds sort of boring when I say it.
No, I know. You're so... the way I can... without knowing exactly what you said, I can imagine that you describe it really well. You have great description potential.
Anyway, it's sort of like... I definitely feel like half observer, half participant or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's even specific to being a dealer or anything like that, but just in general, like, That's how I feel. Just in my life.
So you never went to a fair before you did Los Angeles Contemporary?
Yeah,
there was
definitely. Think,
Alec, 2011,
yeah, I did.
Right?
Yeah, 2011, January 2011 with Eighth Veil.
They with what?
Eighth Veil.
Which is what?
Which is a gallery, team space that is now a publishing company called Paper Chase, which actually published the book, Matt Connelly's book, which we're going to have at the book fair, which is our, like...
Yeah.
So they're great collaborator friends of ours who invited us to do a booth with Paul Heyer at the 2011 ALAC fair. But I had... Actually, no, I remember. Fuck yes. The first fair I went to was ALAC 2010 at the PDC, which was... Mika was working at 1301... And the gallery hadn't opened, and I was handing out like handwritten notes about that gallery to people that there was about to be like a massive tsunami called that gallery, and everyone should probably get ready.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Well, actually,
I mean, I didn't get one of those.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's not...
I thought you would way
you
above
it. You gave
one
to me and Asha at dinner party. It had a piece
before.
Of.
Do you want to let the listeners know what you're talking about?
Sure.
Thanks.
Just like, so...
You were at a dinner party. Whose dinner party?
Just mine, but just, I guess some, like, brief background is that I've been in L.A. for 8 years, 9 years, something like that. I went to UCLA. Davida came here about three and a half years ago from New York, and... We met probably within the first few months that she moved here, before she started Night Gallery, and she was talking about... I actually heard about Night Gallery first from this artist, Blake Rain, who was like, oh yeah, they're going to start this gallery that's open at night, and it's going to have lots of aquariums.
Meow.
And anyway, so... And I only joined Night Gallery like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago or something. So Davida was starting it, and I was visiting and sort of watching them. And anyway, just like was really blown away by... It was just unlike anything I'd ever seen in my like 9 years in L.A. And so we... And I quit 1301 PE and was interested in having a gallery. And anyway, so we just quickly, like, partnered. We realized we cared about a lot of the same things.
Were you, like, going around there regularly? Or did you introduce yourself? Or how did you win her over a job?
We met before. Oh. I invited her to this dinner party.
Oh.
The dinner party.
That
where the game...
Yeah, my boyfriend and I at the time had a dinner party that she came to and handed the card. And the card was amazing. It had this cat on it, I think. And this...
No.
This,
it was a cat.
It wasn't. It was this tail of, like,
it had, like,
semi-attached
velvet. That you could... Like, the inside of the card was, like, a thing you pet. It's like you open the card and pet.
So it's a business card that you that opens up.
It was
up.
Not
no,
a business
it was
like
card.
An invitational
it's an
card.
Oh, an invitation.
It was like glossy. I remember it being glossy.
You opened it, and the information was on the left, and on the right was just like a piece of black.
It was so conceptual. It's so like beautiful and experiential, and like sort of like, and yeah. Anyway, it was just really. I just really moved by everything that Night Gallery was doing before I became a partner.
Mm-hmm. So you guys are equal partners now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I even remember when you got the art format and, like, showing my boss, Brian, and I was like, I'm so happy for them. Like, man, you've got to watch out for Night Gallery. Who knew?
None of this could have that ever really happened without Mika. Like 0%.
What about that? But you are, but the
0% growth.
The art form ad you did though before.
There wasn't an art form ad. It was a review.
It was a review. Got it. Of what show?
For the show called Hearts of Palm.
Mm-hmm. Going back to what you were saying before about how you know you were going to unleash Night Gallery upon the world. Remember that?
Tidal wave.
A few minutes. Tidal wave. Anyway, what I was starting to say is, speaking of your unleashing the tidal wave that you were talking about. So, you know, you say that in jest a little bit, but, you know, somebody, one of your artists, one of the artists you showed, actually, whose name will not be mentioned because I don't want to bias you, told me that other dealers were turning their heads in envy when you walked into the room at a certain point. So... I don't know if you remember having
PR
that experience.
Person.
No, as an artist.
I don't know. I have literally been smoking a tremendous amount of pot this entire time, and every time I walk into a room, I'm generally hyper paranoid.
So you're
people
so
really
you're,
respond so, to that energy, I guess.
And so what you're suggesting is that that is something that actually happens. I definitely did not notice, but am constantly paranoid.
You're not helping,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, I'm like,
well,
oh,
that's really sweet. I don't know if that's true, but who was it?
I'll tell you later. You guys have to do your homework, and then you'll figure it out.
Well,
is that true, though?
Have,
are you really self-conscious really... with the pot or without the pot or both?
Exactly. I mean, the idea is that ultimately I shouldn't smoke pot, but right before I smoke... And it's like that guy Towley from South Park. I am that guy. I was like, oh, no, man, I can't believe I have to do this stuff. I have so much stuff to do. Maybe if I just smoke a little pot, and then they smoke a little pot, and then they're fucked. They're just fucked so royally, there's no question anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas before you smoke pot, you're just like, should I smoke pot? Should I not smoke pot? Should I smoke pot? Should I not smoke pot? And then after you smoke pot, you're just like, I shouldn't have smoked pot, and holy fuck. And it's just another kind of ride. In a different realm.
Right.
Which is a beautiful...
It's a beautiful ride.
Yeah, it's a beautiful ride, and I'm so... So very lucky to be a part of the ride, which is this, which is Night Gallery, which is this.
And that's
wave.
Pot is just a metaphor for Night Gallery. Yeah. I mean, it's like you don't actually need pot, but like that feeling of like being fucked, I guess, or just being like, or just like diving in deep and like immersing your every thought and inch of your body and everything like that is. A lot of what Night Gallery is, I think. Like, our daily experience, and then hopefully, like, somewhat the experience of people that come visit us. Like, some, like, immersive sensorial thing that isn't necessarily, like, rational, but has a lot of... But, like, moves you to, like, wonder or paranoia or... Something. Some
well,
kind of, like, out-of-body state.
Tell me about the genesis of the idea for the Night Gallery at the beginning when you decided, I'm going to do this gallery called Night Gallery and it's going to be open at night.
No.
Why not?
I don't want to talk about that.
Why not?
Because I've already talked about it so many times. It's so unimportant to, like, just the sustainability of Night Gallery. Which is like an equally spiritual endeavor, but the story of Night Gallery, which includes like nighttime mythology and black wall mythology, I mean, unless you're really willing to go into it, I don't want to talk about those.
I mean, I think it's relevant. It's like an interesting question. It's just that
maybe I don't want to answer it.
Are you okay with what she was answering?
I can answer it for you. I can try. Well, I think the thing about Night Gallery... I mean, there's a lot of things, but just making this space for basically hanging out or something, but don't know, it's so much more, like, magical than that. Like, are you going to jump in?
I was going to say, I mean, there's, like, desired conversation achieved in the gallery, which is, like, the hypothetical question of if, while constantly thinking and while just constantly all of us thinking about this greater idea.
Well, I think it's like basically hanging out sounds like it's almost, it doesn't really do justice, because like what I actually mean by that, it's like a discursive space. But you know, like magazines are discursive, or like publications are discursive space, and like school institutions, like universities are discursive space, and
elementary schools.
Even like art fairs are becoming like discursive spaces. But the thing about Night Gallery is like it's so hard for like to have a discursive space that doesn't have like a very obvious agenda. I guess like an open. That, like, allows for some openness, that allows for, like, you sort of, like, have an idea and then you execute it. And I feel like Night Gallery, it's something.
There's a hyperbolicness to Night Gallery.
Yeah, it's not about, like, productivity. It's not about, like, it's not about linearity. It's, you set something up and put all these obstacles in front of it, and it's, like, it's just, it's not like the space of work, per se or something. It's like a more like other realm. It's like something
humorous.
Yeah, it's like funny. It's funny. It's spiritual. It's like love. It's just things that are, you can't like tie. Attach like work hours or like I don't know.
We have just attached work hours to our schedule. I think actually work hours was one of those things that Mika, the early on, you said that the hours that the gallery held at the very beginning of its inception, which was like, I mean, what was Night Gallery? It was just like a beautiful fucking idea. That's what it was. And then it was like, how do you execute a beautiful idea? Well, you need somebody to do that. And I took that role. And I just made it happen. I just was like, we're going to fucking do this.
Yeah, the hours made it real.
And the hours made it real. And
the
hours...
But it was the royal we, though. There was nobody else but you, was there?
No, of course. There was many, tons of people.
Okay.
There was Paul Heyer, Mira Dancy, Anna Rosen.
Yeah, Parker.
Parker. My parents, who... you know, gave me the money at the beginning to start the project.
Did you buy the space? Did you rent?
No, we just rented. Mm-hmm. I rented, I never had a lease. I had a weird, fucked up relationship with, like, the guy, Tony, who rented it to me, and then the landlord. It was just so filled with folklore, right from the very beginning. Like, it was its own folklore.
Right.
Yeah.
It started from, like, Cara Benedetto and Doug Boatwright and Mira... and Paul and Michael Berryhill hanging out, and we did this show called Whitney's Biennial that was organized by Elise Rasmussen, Martha Misko, and Mary-Kate Mayer, and myself, and that was in a large, giant black gymnasium in Brooklyn in 2009. That was like Whitney's
Biennial. It's for Whitney Houston.
And that was sort of the first Night Gallery show. That was like the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Where you had a show that was really based off of this intuitive, beautiful humor. You know, like it was who you are because of...
But it was also like a very like... Yeah. It was also like a really bitchy sort of, you know, I mean, such a like obvious jest at like the Whitney Biennial, in the same way that like Night Gallery is like a obvious jest to like anyone who's a day gallery. including us now. We're playing a joke on ourselves.
How did you leave New York to come to LA?
We're the butt of our own joke.
I graduated from grad school in 2009, and I didn't know anything. But I knew one thing. I was not going to make it in New York. I was like, I definitely do not have that right attitude or style or personality or looks to make it here.
I mean, I felt that way about New York, too. I was there. I didn't even make it as long as you did. 5 months.
I was just like, I'm Canadian, and you get this thing after you graduate called an OPT, which is a visa for 1 year for you to get, and you would traditionally get sponsored by a company, and in the case of an artist, that's called a gallery. And so I just knew I wasn't going to get sponsored by a gallery in New York. So I came out to LA to work for a gallery from Toronto that was starting a space in Chinatown. And it was called KMLA, Catherine Mulhern in Los Angeles. And it didn't last, but it didn't last for the reasons that are the difficulties of LA, which is that you have to be in LA to run a gallery in LA. It's like LA is, that is what I definitely understood, was that this was like a city that has, a real, its own independent regional heartbeat or whatever, its own wave.
Oh, that's so nice.
And you can't come from out of town and have a gallery here, and unless you're really invested in Los Angeles, but Los Angeles has a heartbeat, and you have to like,
yeah,
maybe it's like, not just like a city you can come and just like take from, or
it's harder. It's a city that's harder to understand than one might realize, because I might just think it's very superficial, but it's actually like incredibly complicated.
Well, how did you, what was this process of thinking about opening the more traditional gallery, day gallery, as you called it?
I guess that was always something that like was on, from when Mika and I partnered, that was like something that was on our trajectory. Like it was like in this many time we would get. And it was actually a little bit before we were planning to do it. But once you start, it's sort of like a snowball operation. You realize like sort of quickly how ready you have to be and what needs to happen. And ultimately when you find a space, you have to move. You have to like just change everything, like stop operation somewhere and start in another. And so it was a very natural, organic process. Essentially, our toilet stopped working. I just had to say that what really sped up the thing was the fact that our toilet was a no-go. For the last 2 months we were there, which is an insane idea of running a super public space.
Yeah. This gallery is something that is one of the first conversations that Davida and I ever had. But, you know, we hadn't exhausted the old space. There was, like, still so much to be taken from it. And so much for me, like, personally to, like, you know, since Davida had, like, already been running it for a year, and it's like everyone who comes and does a show at that gallery, and even this new gallery, it's like, you think you know, but you have no idea.
Okay, do tell.
It's just that you, I don't know, it's like you... there really are like not even that many great words to like describe what that nighttime experience meant for me. Especially since I am like really a day person, and I
LA is a day city.
Yeah.
If you actually really want to be regional, man, we gotta be daytime.
Yeah.
Like, but you're a night person, though. That's why you said
no.
I mean, I'm not a night person. People. I came from New York. I was like not a. I didn't understand how LA worked.
We weren't even adjusted. We're only open till like 2. I mean.
Yeah. Night person is like from like 2 to 7 a.m. Man.
Yeah. It was like.
We were such
for a gallery like, 10 to 2 is definitely nuts.
Yeah, but it's
but it was, all it was the other. It was just like otherness. It was just like this will just be a paradox for the fun of it.
Well, it's also the only time that it's like you're not working or having dinner. It's kind of like the only free time that people could share,
right?
Realistically, you know, I mean, artists mostly, but. Like, still, it's like you can't expect artists to be free at like 4 p.m. You can't expect them to be open or like free at like 7 p.m., you know? So it's like really like after dinner is the only kind of consensus on like free moment to like come together or whatever.
Yeah. What's it been? What's the evolution been like with collectors? Because I know that's something that's happening now, if not so much before.
Collectors.
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely. It was interesting.
All good, but it's an evolution process.
You know, like we, it's sort of been like with art fairs also, sort of gone hand in hand. But I don't know. It's so gradual. Honestly, all of our collectors are. Sort of just people that have, like, joined the conversation. Like, for the most part, there's not someone that just walks in and wants to, like, buy something just because they, like, think, you know, they...
Right.
They, like, talk with us. They have a relationship with us. They, like, support multiple artists. They get everything that we're behind. They, like, think it's necessary. I don't know. They're hugely... They're, like, the third... It's like our artists and us and their collectors. It's like we're the...
Well, that's the case for all galleries.
We support... Together, we support the vision, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not... We couldn't do it without collectors, and we couldn't do it without artists, and, you know?
Were collectors involved in this space?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not like... It, I don't know what you mean by that exactly, but, like, definitely this... Gallery is built from sales.
What I mean is, do you have backers that are involved?
Oh, no. We don't have, like, a specific... I mean, it's that's what I mean. It's all from, like, sales and our, like, personal investment.
Mm-hmm.
So.
We do have people who have supported on a, like, preemptive level. Like, who are... From supporters of the gallery.
Yeah, I mean, we've had collectors that supported us from, like, you know. But they're by no means, like, It's like they're not giving us an allowance or something like that, you know.
Yeah. Right.
It's like they only want work that... And also the same thing, it's like no one can afford to buy, like sort of Dean said, like buy everything forever. Like, so yeah. They, like, support us, like, as is appropriate.
As is appropriate.
And
that's actually the t-shirts for Night Gallery.
Yeah, appropriate gallery.
As is appropriate.
Yeah. So.
Well, I think it's important to talk about, to explain your, you guys have such, seem to be presenting a very laissez-faire attitude, and.
That's the whole ethos, man.
Is that actually counterintuitively work then with drawing people in like
what
that
should
one.
We what sort of
you want us to be which, like
really you want us to be brutally honest?
Sure,
absolutely not, man.
No, this is public. We're smarter than that.
This is like a serious,
so you guys are so you guys
this
are
this is a serious sensitive space, and if you want to know the sort of details that details of our, like, tax returns to understand how this was built. It was built off of family resources and sales. And it was built responsibly. And it was built efficiently. and it was built within our means, and it has it's beautiful ups and downs, and it's reality. It's such a like hyperbolic reality, and that is its beauty, which is part of its continuation and continuum of an idea.
Yeah.
And that's as real as we can possibly be. Like, but, without this yeah. is like.
But I have to say, like, I mean, part of this, like, laissez-faire attitude, as you say, like, Devin and I work really hard, and like, there is no way we could do it if we didn't have fun or make each other laugh or drink lots of wine. And like,
we don't support that.
Well, I mean, not like that, but just like if we were like panicked and neurotic the whole time we were working, like it would just burn out. It's like the only way to endure is to like, it's like such a, we're like running a marathon.
Constantly.
And we're like listening to like smooth jazz the whole time.
Absolutely.
Like, is listening to smooth jazz a metaphor, or are you actually listening to smooth jazz?
No, it's a metaphor.
Yeah. Okay, good.
It's a metaphor for this, whatever you're talking about.
Philip Glass.
It's a metaphor for Philip Glass. I know what that means, but it's so funny.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very constant thing that does. We are very lucky that we do that, and we are serious so much of the time. It's just this sort of constant rage.
Yeah,
this,
no,
like,
blanket
of humor.
I think you're misunderstanding me. I am not accusing you guys of being too serious by any stretch of the imagination. Or being unserious about, or being led to unserious about what you do. Rather, what I was kind of getting at.
Contempo cash. No.
No, I'm not offering another opening for a music metaphor. What I was starting to describe is, it's what I've kind of gotten from the. What you've been doing with Night Gallery.
Have you ever been to the old Night Gallery space?
I was never.
Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, you missed the most beautiful thing on earth.
I know I did.
But now it's like myth, and that's cool too.
Yes, exactly. I got the myth.
Up.
What's that?
I said I'm tearing up.
It's true.
Yeah, well, you know, I am very sorry that I didn't make it. But what I'm curious about is that you will correct me, I'm sure, if I'm wrong. It seems though, and I think I'm not going to be too far off, that you were figuring out a lot of things as you were going along with the original Night Gallery.
That is true.
At a certain point, and you were doing the Los Angeles Art Fair while you were the original space, and now you've done it as the day gallery, night gallery. But I just am curious, you know, I don't really have a question.
Did you go to ALAC?
No.
So,
it's so sweet.
But now that I'm getting back to answering a question, now that I'm at your what do you call it, night gallery, day gallery version, or how do you like to refer
gallery.
To it? The new night gallery?
It's just
the
night
digs.
Gallery.
Night gallery.
The digs?
Yeah.
The digs. Now that I'm at the digs, and we should tell
the
people
names
that.
And games. The new digs. Dames and
Games. Dames and Games, right.
Yeah.
Oh,
the
God.
New digs.
I was ready to walk
new
into the
bar.
Gallery, and that was like going to be the first thing out of my mouth. But then that's when I got lost.
We wanted to we want to retitle ourselves Dames and Games.
Dames and Games. Okay, we should tell
people
that.
Because we really were already Dames and Games. Like, Dames and Games is a definitely one chapter of the ethos of the gallery.
Yeah, ongoing chapter.
Yeah. Everybody that out there that knows.
Were you, it was your original space near a another... exciting
strip
nightclub.
Club.
Yeah.
You can call it strip club.
Right. Sure.
So what? It's a World Wide Web. It's unrated. Unrated.
Unrated.
So where were we? Did I answer your question?
No, it wasn't your strip club. But you didn't say what you think about the gallery now or what you think about Davide and me.
Yeah. Okay, that's true. So what do I think about the gallery now? I think it's an amazing space. I mean, the vaulted ceilings, you know, and I mean, I was so fried by the time I got here that it looks like a really cool show, a really cool opening show for sure. And the fact that we're in your, sort of semi recreated, you know, with the wood paneled walls with the stain, the dark stain that you can still pine tar that you can nicely still take in is great with the red and blue, colored light bulbs.
Yeah,
it's again. So the flag is wrapping all around us.
No, and actually, I think to answer the question that you probably want even answered more, what I think of you guys. I mean, I am so flummoxed by the fact that you can be, I guess, on one hand, so kind of casual and accessible, you know, and down to earth, but at the same time, kind of. At the same time, kind of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Coy.
Sort of, yeah.
Jazzy.
Coy.
Jazzy. No.
Definitely jazzy.
Evasive, I think, is the word, maybe. And sort of protective of your inner core. Yeah. So,
well,
is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, we're fragile beings.
Yeah.
Really?
We
I'm a fragile
really
being.
Fragile.
I am a fragile being. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
how do you...
and then we respect that.
Thank you.
How
do you...
definitely.
And that's probably... How does one make their way through the waters of the art world as a you know, fragile being?
Everyone is, though, man.
I disagree. I think there's a whole spectrum in the art world, you know?
No way. Everyone who thinks they're not is fooling themselves.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you think everybody like who's insecure at an opening or an art fair is unaware of the fact that everybody else around them is also equally insecure?
Yeah.
I think they're probably too concerned with themselves to think that way. They're absolutely thinking that everybody's thinking something negative about them.
Yeah.
Which is an insane thing to think. That anyone would be thinking anything but thinking about themselves. So.
But you've never had that thought yourself?
I mean, I've had all of the thoughts.
Yeah.
That's my whole problem.
Yeah.
I'm like...
Davide has an amazing mind.
Big...
It's crazy. It feels everything. It's
well,
crazy.
Let's... Why don't we go biographical here for a minute, shall we? So you're from Montreal. You grew up in Montreal, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Are you of Greek extraction?
No, but are you asking that because you think that?
because of your name?
No.
That's just a guess.
Greek? Russian.
Oh, it's Russian?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Russian, Jewish, and Acadian.
Where's that?
So exotic.
That is exotic. I've never even heard of it.
Acadian is a small francophone sect of people that are from the East Maritimes, like the Maritime region of Canada, like New Brunswick. And I think those people are the same people that went down to New Orleans.
Creoles?
Yeah.
Wow.
Acadian, that's like, yeah. That is the same descendantness.
Right. All right, well, let's get...
I'm just Canadian.
Okay, got it. So let's get to the interesting stuff. So what's your earlier story? I mean, what kind of kid or teenager were you like?
Absolutely not.
No? What happened? Okay, would you like to, like, Mika to speak for you on this question then?
No, well, okay. Mika doesn't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
About my teenager?
I know a little bit, I guess.
Okay, well, do me a solid.
Don't share.
Shut the fuck up.
Well, I was just reading this
you
stuff.
You should say.
I was a photographer. I wasn't, well, not when I was a teenager, but I went to college in Toronto, and I went to this awesome university called Ryerson in the School of Image Arts and studied photography with a lot of awesome people and had an awesome time in Toronto being a photographer. But at the same time, I did have a very thoughtful mind, and that perpetuated me to go to grad school in New York, which then perpetuated me here, which...
Okay, but you don't want to go back behind before college?
You mean school? When I was a teenager?
Sure. Or if not, when you were a kid then?
I was a really fat kid.
Is that true?
Oh my god, I was a gigantic... I was like, have you ever seen that movie with Kieran Culkin? There's like a story is like a giant and a child who can't walk.
Okay.
Who helps him walk, I think.
So that was you. You were the.
I was just a giant. I spent most of my life observing.
I was a very
huge starer. You know, I had like a massive staring problem. I stared all the time.
How was it a problem? Because people called you out on it?
I recall a few different times in my life where I definitely have tried to like not care about my early times just so that I can get through these days, because it's very difficult to be a conscious adult. You know, it's either you're in therapy or you have to forget, you know, and you have to, that has to be to make it actually happen, you have to be active about it, i.e. actively forgetting. So I don't remember everything, but I do remember being conscious of those things.
So
conscious of, I mean, Night Gallery is very much, there's like a body reference in the gallery, which is like the body that, like, when Mika and I speak about the gallery in a, and I'm going to speak on her behalf. But in this sort of spiritual connection, there's like a sort of real, hyperbolic or hypothetical, tangible body that exists within the conversation of Night Gallery and who, like, she is, and that voice that's able and available. That I think relates to myself as a child and being a bigger child and being sort of like a starer. And so I don't really think of myself as a child without psychoanalyzing it or without referencing, and that's exhausting, so I try and forget. Yeah, so
I think
don't
I think I'm like, I mean, definitely there's like this sensitivity. Anyway, but I definitely think that there's this kind of sensitivity in the space that, like, it took me a while to appreciate, because my family's actually like not as sensitive. And it's this kind of like, it's so human that, it's basically impossible to not be affected by it. I don't know.
Well, are you saying that you're different from the rest of your family in that regard, or you're...
No, I'm just saying that it's impossible for anyone to not be like... Everyone is like sensitive, and it's just like the sensitivity that's displayed at Night Gallery and the like humaneness that's there, and like totally is like this beautiful extension of like Davida and the gallery. It's just it's impossible to like not be touched by it, I think, if you spend time here.
So are you, what is your policy towards visitors, towards new visitors that you don't know?
It's a reserved one.
So you just contradicted what you said then.
Well, we did that. We developed, that's what we did. We did a really public-private...
Well, I think we're always we're always like...
I just mean that like...
Nice.
Absolutely, yeah.
We also have to take care of ourselves. Like, we're people. We can't just... we have to have like some sense of self, you know, like, but like always.
But
nice.
The running like an intimate public space.
Yeah.
It's bizarre animal behavior about like what to do and how to behave and like what's the right thing to do. And I feel like we made a space that is very animal like and sort of natural. Like it's like we're accessible. There's like a lot of transparency in the space, but it's like there's like sort of hypothetical real barriers of like behavior psychology involved and like whether or not people will feel like they can
I mean, we made rooms and areas that are more private than other areas, and like there are things that sort of defer people from going there, like this room, but
to like be that to assume that somebody could be like the first show we had was called Private Life. Have you ever listened to that song, that Grace Jones song?
I don't know.
You should listen to it. That is really the impetus for the gallery space. And it's very interesting. It was a title and song chosen by Mira Dancy, who is like the mother god, whose daughter, Isis, is actually the mother god of the gallery. And just very interesting insight into like this public private space. So asking whether or not we're like open to people, it's like we're open. We're also open to realness, and realness comes like in different doses and at different levels and in different waves at this moment in time. And we've been doing this with a it's a sensitive
I think being like explicit or being transparent isn't always even like the kindest thing or something.
Yeah,
like
transparency
that.
Is vapid. It's horrible. It's just like, it's, what is transparency? It's not a
pillow. And it's not more real, and it's not more anything. Like there's something so it's not transparency is like not more real than opacity, but like you can just, I don't know, like humanity is should be the goal more than transparency.
Why don't you relate that to the actual experience that instead of being abstract about it?
What do you mean?
I mean, you're talking very hypothetically and philosophically, and we started talking about the gallery and visiting experiences. That's where I thought we were talking about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this room is, like, private viewing room, semi-private. Like, we're not, you know.
It's only by heavy felt.
People, yeah. Like, there's not, like, a door with a lock there.
Right, but I'm talking about.
But people kind of, like, respect that they don't have to go, like, nosing around at, like, a gallery. And so, like, there is, like, a certain barrier there between, like, the public and people on the inside of this room.
And it's a dual respect. Yeah, like it's a behavior psychology of how people behave in public space because there's a public space.
But this is a gallery, you know? Yeah. Like that's there's a part that is like open for public viewing, and there's a part that is like the public doesn't necessarily participate in.
Yeah, I'm talking about the public part.
Sales.
I'm talking about the public part. I'm asking about is people coming to visit the gallery, what that experience
is. Yeah,
so like.
I'm saying we're like very like we believe me, we talk.
She's shaking her head.
I'm just shaking my head in awe at the idea of the question. I can't even tell you the sort of ways in which we interact with the public and the people.
There's like
tell me, please.
There's a guy that came that lived across the old gallery space that came from Milwaukee. And he went there, and he just thought it was, like, the best space on earth. And somehow he has my phone number, and he just texts me still, and, like, he's going to come visit. I'm just saying, like, pick up these people, and it's, like, all how much it resonates, you know? Like, some people that come in just reading about it really resonates, and, like, we have an amazing dynamic conversation. Some people are here just to submit their artwork, you know? of that doesn't go that far because they're not really engaging with us. Like, they're just, they have some agenda that's one direction, you know? Like, and it just, like, it's varied. It's like the public engagement is as varied and specific as the individual that comes to visit us.
Well, I think that, I have no idea what it's like to be here being public to the space, like being unaware of the space and everything that went into it. I have no idea what that's like because I've been doing it since the very beginning. I can only hope that it is an experience that...
I can talk about it, though, a little bit.
We'll talk about it.
because I was public before I was...
Yeah, like, I guess I have no... I just hope that people spend time looking at the work and experiencing the work and having a relationship of the work.
The work,
you know, like in this show in particular, the work is dictating the experience.
I can actually talk about it. I can probably talk about it sort of honestly. Because, like, there... I did have, like, a whole segment when I was, like, not, like... associated with it, and I was like an observer, and I like remember like coming in and being like skeptical of it. I was like, I was like Tim Heidegger. I was like, oh, these kids from New York fucking come here, I think they can just start this, like, they think it's so like subversive. I was like, I just like was so skeptical. I was like, we'll see where they are in a month or a year or something like that. Like, and then the thing was that I actually went there the day after it opened, and it was not, like, there's the idea of Night Gallery, of course, there's, like, idea of black walls and, like, the hours, but the thing that makes the difference is, like, DeVita, and when I went, also Paul Heyer, and, like, the people that were there, like, anyone can have that idea of a Night Gallery. Anyone can have the idea of those hours. But, like, Night Gallery isn't that... isn't, like, the literal limits. It's, like, the people. It's our artists, you know? Like, it's us. It's, like, the... and anyway, and so, like, I went there, and I was just, like, so won over. And it wasn't... by the concept or something like that. It was just about, like, the people behind it and, like, the humanity. And just, like, the intellectual rigor and... I don't know. It's, like... you can be a skeptic, but... I don't know. The difference is execution and feeling. I don't know.
But ultimately, surviving is the real thing. You know, yeah. We all need to survive.
Yeah, that's what hours like are about.
Yeah. Hours. And it's something that we respect, and it's something that we are protesting for, you know? Like, it's...
yeah. Hours are like sales.
This is about generating and helping the economy. Sales are good for everybody.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why art galleries weren't on anyone's fucking platform in the last election.
I sort of do.
I mean, yeah, no, I totally do.
I mean, it's a weird business.
But what would happen if it did, you know? What would happen if art became a non-luxury good and became something that was a part of what is considered a viable economy that employs people and creates benefits? And it's no longer...
yeah.
You know, it's like, what if the philosophy trumps the...
well, I mean, art...
object or commodity.
Does...
I mean, it does do that.
It does do
but
that.
But it's like, this
maybe
power
not,
that Night Gallery has...
not this specific sort of iteration or something like that, but there's so many fields that are, like, art fields that are that.
Mm-hmm.
And those are super interesting to us, like, also, you know? It's not just this, like, luxury goods field. Like, we are interested...
fuck luxury goods.
We're, like...
it's insane.
We're so
insane.
Yeah,
it's so insane.
But it's also amazing. I mean, I think it's amazing. It's like sort of like
so
It's like human. Libertarian.
Yeah, no, it's very animal behavior. It's cool. Just like natural. It is the most Darwinian behavior. It's like, this is what's happening. And it's libertarian, and it is happening, and it is taxed under luxury goods. It has a fucking...
Anyway, but there is something, like, in its, like, unregulation, I have to say it's probably the only reason that, like, Debbie and I could... We've just, like, there's just a lot of, like, shit in regards to, like, permits or, like, whatever. Like, mm-hmm. So many businesses get stymied by bureaucracy, and bureaucracy is expensive and time-consuming, and people, like, we, you know, people pay rents for, like, a year just before they get a permit and, like, start their business, and that, only a certain amount of people can afford that. Like, we're able to start Night Gallery on, like, a pretty modest, like, loan, you know? Like, we're, it's...
And you we're mean a, this now, this Night Gallery.
Like, even their original Night Gallery. I'm just saying, like, we're able to, like, soar pretty, like, far pretty fast because of the unregulatedness of the art market in some ways.
Not even, yeah, not in relationship to just the unregulated, just the hyper-potential of, like, what is...
Because art can be anything. An art yeah. gallery what can be
art?
Anything.
What is, like, art gallery? What is advertisement? What is getting people? What is good? What is bad? What is too much? What is too little?
Like, yeah, like, we... There's no... It's so hard to box, and it's so... That... You know, I don't know. We're just able to... The freedom of luxury goods is, like, the unregulatedness, and, like, that... There's also, like, a creative and, like, philosophical freedom that is, like... It's awesome, but also problematic. I don't know.
What do you think about the art market? Like, isn't it fucking crazy?
It can be. Yeah, it's very pyramidal. You know, very tiny at the top and on down.
And what's at the top?
I think I'm becoming a Republican.
No, Mika, shut the fuck up.
Why do you say that?
I'm just joking.
Yeah.
It's a big joke.
Got it.
No.
Is there anything else that you guys...
I'm just kidding. I'm, like, really a socialist. I realize we've been overpaying a little bit on our sales tax. And I was like, well, that's because we're a socialist gallery.
So you good?
Yeah.
You want to acknowledge that we're finishing?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Awesome.
Shout out. Michael Shaw.
Yeah. Sam and Max. Claire.
Sean.
All right. There was a lot more love there at the end than it sounded like. Believe me, the love was spread all around and has continued to be spread. Thanks to Davida and Mika for talking with me, for putting it out there. And thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. And I will talk to you soon. Remember... Come with those recommendations and come with those suggestions, and I will tally them up. So, talk to you next time.